Welcome. You are listening to Our Mindful Nature, formerly titled The Mindful Minute. I'm your host, Meryl Arnett, and this podcast explores the deep connection between land and self through nature-based meditations and meditative experiences that invite us back into belonging to each other, to our ancestors, to the earth, and to all beings that make up this universe. If you would like to access these meditation practices as standalone audio files, please subscribe to my newsletter at merylarnett.com. It's free, and you'll receive a new mini meditation each week, along with behind-the-scenes content and bonus material for each podcast episode. All right, grab a cup of tea, pop in your headphones, and find a comfy seat. Let's settle in for today's episode. Well, hello, friends, and welcome. This is a special episode. So Nick and I thought it might be fun after we just did that migratory episode that I hope you all listened to. We thought it might be fun to release a little behind the scenes. So a bit more context around the sounds you heard, the ideas behind them, and what we hope that you're experiencing as you listen. So Nick, welcome. Thank you for being here and chatting with me.
Hi. Yeah, thank you.
Mm-hmm. So listeners, you know, I came to Nick in, January in winter, and I said, I'm thinking about birds for spring. Let's do something on birds. And immediately, Nick, you were like, sandhill cranes. I was like, yes, because I know that sound. And I'm sure listeners, many of you know that sound, and some of you might not because they only migrate in some parts, but lots of the states. And so maybe, Nick, let's just start with like, why did sandhill cranes jump first and foremost to your mind?
Definitely. The cranes are, I guess, maybe not the first thing people think of when they think of the spring chorus or spring listening. But I think they're also such a common bird for much of America and also very popular. I was in the process of thinking about taking a trip to go see the sandhill cranes locally in Washington, where I live, and hopefully record them. There's a local festival celebrating their arrival. I haven't actually been to the festival. I've gone to record them, obviously, before, but I'm hoping to attend the festival with a friend of mine. And I was imagining this trip, and this kind of just came to my head because I have this wonderful recording that I really love of the cranes.
I love that. And when you said it, you know, it's so funny because I vividly remember a early spring and being outside with my husband and saying, what is this noise I keep hearing? Do you keep hearing this noise over and over and over again? It's so unusual. And I remember him being like, yes, I hear it too. This is so strange. And we poke around, we do the Googling, and we discover that what we're hearing is the sandhill crane as it's migrating. Yeah. It's such an unusual sound. And I read my favorite description from writer David Abrams. He described sandhill cranes as fractal dragons. And I love it because like fractal meaning what you see way up in the sky because they're so high up. But their sound is a little dragony or reptilian in some way, right?
Oh, yeah.
So interesting.
So yeah, I hadn't even heard of them before just a couple of years ago when I went to go record them. And then I've kind of found how popular they are. And there's these, you know, sandhill crane festivals in Washington
State. All over,
State,
yeah.
And I think the South and the Midwest has a lot more of them. Traveling. Yeah. So
if you're in the States, and actually I think there are some other places that outside of the States where there are also sandhill cranes, because there's a couple different subspecies. And mm-hmm. So if you're not sure, you should Google it and just see, because it's very likely they're flying over you right now. All right. So we started our migratory journey, not with the cranes,
but with a tiny microscopic organism that floats in all bodies of water. And so I sent you this idea of talking about zooplankton and the way that they drift from surface to depth and back again. And you created a water experience for us to tap into that drifting. What are we hearing when we listen to this water?
Yes, the water experience is a very peaceful experience in my mind. The layer that I find most peaceful or grounding, or I guess rhythmic even, is the ocean rumble in the background, which might not actually be apparent at first. But I recorded that at the ocean and tried to find a spot far enough from where the waves are crashing to just hear the low frequencies, kind of like the breathing or the rhythm of the ocean. And then the much more present sound was actually soft waves recorded at a lakeshore nearby where I live, and which is wonderful to be able to do recordings nearby. And yeah, this is a very large lake that frequently has these soft lapping waves, and it's very beautiful to just kind of sit and listen, especially in the middle of the night. I think we've talked about how it's hard to record other times of the day because of human sounds. And so I'll be sitting beside the lake in the middle of the night listening to the lapping, and it's a very beautiful experience. I felt that the layer of these two, kind of after we talked about the plankton, really made sense. This kind of soft movement of water that would kind of be a surface sense, and then rumble that would really evoke the ocean.
Oh, I love that. Can we listen to this sound together?
Yeah.
Yeah. I really feel, as I hear these sounds, I really feel the sense of journey just within this little bit because of the way you layered it. And I didn't notice that that I was hearing ocean and lake at the same, like I couldn't discern that, but I think I felt the layers of that.
Yeah, and this particular lake's lapping really kind of had this, it was almost a busyness that I think maybe felt more open or more, you know, it didn't feel closed off like it was a small lake. It felt like it could have just been this movement of water around you.
Yeah.
And it would be great to record further out in the ocean. And I don't know, I wonder, I'd be really curious if the sounds of the rumble would be different, you know, if you recorded it from the ocean perspective instead of from inland. But you'd have to get on a kayak or some very quiet boat that doesn't have anything running and be far enough away, which I would imagine you'd have to be further away because it'd be flat or wavy. That's a really interesting idea.
I'll
investigate someday.
Oh, I look forward to hearing it.
Yeah.
So we move, right? We don't stay still. We, even in the experience of this one migration from surface to depth, and then also sort of carrying ourselves forward into the path, we're moving towards the sandhill crane, right? We're moving into wetlands, I believe. Is that right?
Yeah, after you kind of explained the transition of this episode and the movement of it, I felt kind of coming upstream and into the marsh where I first really experienced the sandhill crane for myself. And they were roosting there, and it was really beautiful to see them kind of doing these large circular movements as they come down to roost, or when they take off, they do these kind of really amazing kind of almost paragliding moves, catching the wind and going up and down. And Yeah, so they were roosting in this really, it was actually a very beautiful marsh for March, you know, kind of lack of color in a lot of ways, but also very diverse with water and different waterfowl coming in for the season. Mm-hmm.
So why don't we listen? Because I want to remember, we hear them, I think, do we hear them both on the ground, sort of in the wetlands, as well as up in the air? Do we hear both?
The marsh recording is primarily on the ground while they're roosting.
Okay.
And then I had some of them passing overhead, and I think we could blend them together or kind of have them, you know, landing. And
yeah, I love that. I love that. Let's take a listen. Immediately come back to that fractal dragon. It's the best description.
Yeah, it's very cool. It's definitely very, very unique sound. And it's really impressive how much it carries. I very distinctly remember it was again at night recording them, and they were chattering with each other. And I kept, you know, having to take my headphones off to kind of discern how close they were. Because their sound is so impressive and kind of, it's almost jarring, because it'd be very quiet there, you know, maybe you'd hear just an owl or kind of a frog, and then suddenly you'd hear this chatter of this, you know, the sandhill crane, which was just so distinct and almost cutting the night. And I think it was really beautiful. It kind of seemed like they were checking in on each other. There was a softness to it that was different than the daytime chatter that they have. And it felt kind of also almost comforting to me in a way that I hadn't expected, because I could hear some coyotes, and I was in this marsh at night. And so there was some kind of eerie aspects to the experience.
So I think they were kind of
like checking in as they're on this journey with each other, and they're in this marsh too, you know, and they have predators around. And
That's so interesting. And you know, I cannot imagine, actually, now that you say it, thinking about being out at night. And it's one thing to be like on an ocean shoreline. I'm like, yeah, I could do that. I'll sit on an ocean shoreline all night long. But to be in a marsh or in the woods at night is a very different experience. It does pull forward some of the unknown, right? That's sort of lurking, lurking out in the background. And it's interesting, because if we even think back to the winter episode and the frozen lake, and you hear that owl in the background as such a source of comfort, right? Like, the owl was safety to me in that soundscape. And it's interesting that you're calling, there's owl in this, but also the cranes themselves offering that sense of like, I'm here, I see you, you're here too, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I love that. I cannot imagine. I was reading, I think the largest congregation of these cranes happens in Nebraska. Mm-hmm. And it's like 250,000 birds. And they're like, can you imagine how loud that must be? 250,000 birds? I can't imagine.
It's much larger than the Washington State migration. But in Georgia. I think we have in the 30s, maybe in the 40s, of thousands, which is still good. And they're coming for many weeks. It's kind of moving through the area, but yeah, it'd be a spectacle to go see that. I think I've seen some photos and heard some recordings from the Nebraskan migration.
That would be incredible. Yeah, here they're just flying over.
Okay.
And we're, you know, listeners, we're recording this in mid-February, and we've heard a few, but not a ton yet. Like There will come a time, probably in March when this airs, when it will be every day, very consistent for a little bit of time. Mm-hmm. And it is indeed, to me at least, a marker of spring.
Yeah. It is. Yeah.
Yeah. So let's keep going. We move from the wetlands and we find ourselves in the domain of the monarch butterfly, which is the last migration that we explored together. And this one was really interesting. I really want you to talk about how, why these sounds.
Mm-hmm. What, so you mentioned the monarch as an idea, and I have visited them, but it was before I was really a field recordist, I guess, or before I was doing it in the level that I am now. So I don't remember distinctly hearing their wings, but I visited the monarch kind of spot in Mexico, mm-hmm. where they all gather seasonally, and then I think their migration is more spread out. I don't think they gather like that.
Yeah.
Which now that that's mentioned, it's interesting because the sandhill cranes really seem to have this gathering point along their migration. And then they kind of spread out. And so these kind of points are really, which is really fascinating. And so I Googled monarch butterfly sounds, and some videos came up, and I wasn't very, I guess, impressed with them. I was wanting more. I wanted to hear more detail, more diversity within the recording. So I chose a spring recording that kind of seemed to pick up on its own kind of detail or diversity with some wind and some rain, really like the spring sounds, and some a dawn with some light birds, and I felt that it really spoke to me about how spring is and what spring sounds like.
And what I liked so much about it, Nick, was because in the context of how we are looking at monarch butterflies in this series and as a metaphor for internal experience, this was not it wasn't a tangible literal, right? We were bringing in the ancestral, we were bringing in the multi-year and bigger chunks of time. And so I didn't want it to feel like the sandhill crane where there's a bird on my shoulder and it's on the earth. Yeah. It's right here in this moment. It is more open, sort of ethereal experience. And so when I heard it, when there's like the rain and it's giving you a sense of the space that you're in, it really, to me, delivered the experience of what I felt as I was sitting with the monarch migration. Mm-hmm. So I really appreciated how you put that sound, pulled that sound as the one for us to listen to. Why don't we listen together? I think I feel space and time very clearly in that.
It's definitely a recording of the season in my mind. Spring is sort of like an awakening time for a recordist, I think. I mean, for a lot of us, after kind of our winter hibernation or being indoors a lot or feeling cooped up, and it's one of those, it feels good to be outside again. It's not so cold or dreary or dark. And I do tend to always want to find the sound. So when you said butterfly, I'm like, how do I find a butterfly sound? I want to get that. I want to get that recording. But I think it does make a lot of sense to the recording that we chose. I think makes a lot more sense.
Yeah. And, you know, as we were initially talking about it, I really loved that you pointed out that it wasn't just these three specific migrations that we're experiencing, but there's also movement within the larger story, right? And I think what you initially said was, you know, you really felt sort of the movement from the smallest to sort of the corporeal to the most open ethereal version of self or space or experience. I love that you pulled that out.
You really covered the whole spectrum of, you know, coming from the depths of the ocean to the creatures on land and to the creatures in the air. And we're such a part of all of that ourselves. So it's really important that we're bring awareness to that and are listening, kind of bringing our minds, you know, maybe out of ourselves or out of our routine to have that external awareness too. With the animals and with the earth.
And to give ourselves an invitation to see the multiplicity of entry points or points of view, the layers that exist within experience. It's so easy, at least for me, to think incredibly linear. Here's the story, here's the path, it's a straight line, let's get from point A to point B. And as you and I worked together and you brought these sounds in, it became very cyclical, which is the whole, migration is cyclical, it's the whole point of the experience. And so for listeners, I think, you know, my hope, I think our hope is that it's creating that sense of, it's not a rush from point A to point B, and it's certainly not the destination that we're trying to deliver, right? But it's the movement, the process that is evocative to me in this series.
I really love the concept of, well, of migration in general, as, you know, maybe even being something that we're called to with, you know, wanting to travel or wanting to go different places in different seasons. And I think that within travel, you can be pushed to have these kind of different experiences that can be scary sometime or uncomfortable. And it is linear. You want to go to your spot, but we have to go through the trip to get there. And it's maybe a little, it's obvious, like you have to go through this, enjoy the journey sort of mindset, but it's good to be reminded of it and to think about all of these animals on their journeys. And I think the butterflies are kind of at the end of their journey when they're all together in the spot in Mexico. That is a very beautiful place to visit, but we see them while they're traveling in North America, and we see them, you know, sprinkled throughout. So they're on their journey then, and the sandhill cranes are on their journey when we see them too. So,
and we are on our journeys, right? Every day is a piece of our own individual and collective journey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to try to think about that next time I'm out in the field.
I love that. So why don't we end with listening to the full cycle of the journey? Yeah. So we'll do an experience together, listeners. And this is not guided, but this is simply an opportunity to sit, to listen, and to let yourself feel the movement of migration, however that shows up for you in this particular moment. And so wherever you are, if you can listen with headphones, I highly recommend it. The sounds are incredible. And you will let yourself sit in a way that feels comfortable. Maybe letting your feet rest on the ground, maybe lying down on the ground. And if you want to close your eyes, feel free. And why don't we just take a breath before we begin, inhaling in deeply, exhaling out a sigh. allowing your ears to open up. Thank you. And as we feel that migratory journey coming to an end, you might once again deepen your breath a bit. Maybe move your fingers, your toes, your shoulders. Perhaps reminding yourself where you are in space and time. And let's finish here, as we always do, with one last cleansing breath. Deep inhale in. Exhale out that sigh. And taking all the time you need to bring yourself back, to let your eyes open once again. Nick, thank you so much for helping bring to life this migratory series. I can't wait to work on the next one with you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for listening to Our Mindful Nature. If you enjoyed today's episode, please consider sharing it with a friend or leaving me a review wherever you get your podcasts. It helps others to find this show, and let's face it, we could all use a few more meditators in our lives. Our Mindful Nature is recorded on Muscogee land and produced with the support of Brianna Nielsen. Deep gratitude is offered to acoustic ecologists Gordon Hempton and Nick McMahon for the use of their nature field recordings in many of these episodes. To join my live classes, ask questions, or learn about my teacher trainings, please visit merrillarnett.com. Thanks again for listening. I'll see you next week.